This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I have to escape that?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey, welcome back to Adrenaline. This is your host, Neil Heligers, and this is False Idols, Episode 3. Enjoy.
The senior agents stared at her. Then Pierce turned to Monahan.
Works for me. If you want to run him out of this office, you'll do it under my supervision, he informed her.
Pierce hesitated.
Farwadi does have contacts in New York, she said carefully. But he knows a lot more people, important people, in Cairo. Cairo, he repeated. No way. There's too much corruption in the intelligence directorate. If you try to run a covert op with them, your guy's as good as dead.
I know, said Pierce.
So maybe we don't have to tell the intelligence directorate.
Now he laughed.
One problem with that, sweetheart. It's completely fucking illegal for the FBI to operate independently on foreign soil.
That hasn't stopped you before. Layla was surprised by her own words. They were true, but flinging them at the ASAC of counterterrorism was a different matter. Monahan appeared equally stunned, but that could soon give way to anger.
I translate incoming messages from agents all over the world, including the covert strike team in Syria and the intelligence operative in North Korea.
That's enough, he said,
but his voice remained calm. Pierce pressed her advantage.
We'll keep it simple. 6 months tops.
Simple?
The big agent barked out a humorless laugh.
Yeah, they all start out like that.
The Arts Council fundraiser was being held in the Coriander Gallery, a large industrial warehouse turned studio space. Colored lights played over cement walls and tastefully exposed pipes as speakers thumped out a techno beat. As Layla walked in, she could almost imagine she was in a trendy Soho club. Not that she'd ever been much of a club rat, at least, not as the studious, responsible Layla Aldeeb. But tonight, she was Layla Noir, strutting across the room in a low-cut red dress with spike heels to match, drawing admiring stares from men and women alike. She found a group of the party kids, including Jehan, Chloe, and Adrian Goldman, hanging out by a photo display showing the stages of the Coriander's transformation. When Jehan saw her, she let out a low whistle.
Wow!
She took Layla's hand and twirled her around.
You're looking pretty hot yourself, said Layla.
Her new friend was dressed in slim, black pants that emphasized her long legs, and a decidedly unconservative black halter top. No hijab. She wore a striking jade pendant shaped like a scarab.
That's gorgeous. Is it new?
My mom gave it to me for my birthday.
Jehan shrugged, smiling.
I have to admit, the woman knows her bling.
Across the room, Layla saw someone who looked familiar, although she couldn't immediately place him. He was 50-ish, with blue eyes and thick, gray hair, dressed in jeans, a casual tan blazer, and very expensive brown loafers.
He wasn't exactly handsome, but radiated enough confidence to make up for it. She realized suddenly where she'd seen the man's picture. On Pierce's suspect board. His name was Bennett Rothkopf, and he was connected to a lot of other pictures on that board. Jehan saw who she was looking at.
If you're into collecting, you should meet Bennett Rothkopf. He has a terrific gallery downtown.
He was talking animatedly with a few other well-dressed society types, but the man standing beside him was different. He wasn't part of the conversation. He had dark hair, broad shoulders, and muscles that strained the tight sleeves of his black sport coat.
Who's that next to him?
Jehan peered closer.
Don't know. Someone he works with, I think.
She turned back to Layla.
And you have to meet his son, James. He works in the gallery too, restoring art. Kinda serious. You'd like him.
What's that supposed to mean? Layla asked, wondering if she'd been letting too much of all business agent Eldeeb show. She needed to focus on being more flighty. She had a good role model in Jehan, who had ignored her question and was now standing on tiptoes, scanning the room from a slightly higher vantage point.
I don't see him, she said.
Layla followed her gaze and saw a young, serious-looking Egyptian man heading toward them. Jehan clearly spotted him, too.
Oh shit, it's Yusuf, she said with a roll of her eyes. He's a nice, respectable boy who works for my dad. My folks are already planning the wedding.
She grabbed Layla's hand and pulled her in the opposite direction.
Come on.
Where are we going?
To meet Bennett, said Jehan, as if this were beyond obvious.
As they approached Rothkopf, the man next to him edged forward as if to protect him from the two incoming girls. He had olive skin and dark brown eyes, but it was hard to even guess at his ethnicity. Or his age, for that matter. Layla thought she'd figured out his job, though. Bodyguard. And not one you wanted to mess with. Rothkopf spotted them and smiled.
Jehan, lovely to see you.
He kissed her on both cheeks as the other man stepped back.
This is my friend Layla.
Pleased to meet you. Bennett Rothkopf.
He extended his hand. Up close, she could see that his blue eyes were flecked with green. She also noticed the deep worry lines between his eyebrows.
Have you been to the Coriander before, Layla?
He asked her.
No, I haven't.
It's a communal space for artists, where they can work on their own projects and be inspired by others.
He gestured to the paintings and sculptures in progress with obvious pride.
Art is a powerful form of communication, sometimes more powerful than words.
He spoke with great conviction, and Layla honestly couldn't tell if he was sincere or if this was a performance intended to persuade them to donate more money. Pierce's file on Rothkopf had described him as a self-made man who convinced early investors to believe in him while he was still struggling to pay the rent. Layla could see why. He was a good salesman, which would also make him a good liar. They began to hear raised voices from a hallway leading toward the gallery offices. A woman with a distinctly Australian accent shouted,
"No, leave me alone!"
Rothkopf looked up, concerned.
I hope that's nothing serious.
It sounds like our friend Chloe, Jehan told him. Don't worry, we've got this.
She headed off toward the hallway, nodding for Layla to join her. From a professional standpoint, she knew she should stay and keep talking to the person who was on her suspect wall. But socialite Layla Noir would go with her friend.
It was really nice to meet you, she said to Bennett. I'd love to see your gallery sometime.
Come by whenever you like,
he said, turning the warmth of his smile up several degrees.
It would be my honor to show you around.
Layla couldn't help smiling back before she turned and hurried after Jehan. They left the main gallery space and found themselves in a long, concrete corridor, surrounded by small offices and studios.
"Fuck you!"
came Chloe's strangled cry from a room at the other end of the hallway, followed by a chorus of voices. Layla stopped short as she watched Jehan rush toward the commotion as if she were running into a burning building to rescue a child. It was ridiculous. These people led such charmed lives that a little relationship drama seemed like the end of the world. She knew she should follow Jehan and join the others, but the thought was exhausting. She turned away from the sound of Jehan's voice joining the fray and was startled to find that she wasn't alone.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
A handsome guy with tousled brown hair, broad shoulders, and deep blue eyes was leaning against the concrete wall, smiling at her. There was something familiar about him, though she couldn't put her finger on what it was.
"You're missing all the action," he said,
and she picked up an American accent.
"So are you," Layla pointed out with a small shrug. "I guess I'm not used to people putting their private lives on display."
He laughed, and her stomach did a tiny involuntary flip.
"Clearly you're new to Cairo, or at least to this crowd."
He studied her for a moment.
"I'm guessing you're the Layla Noir I've been hearing about."
He extended his hand.
"James."
"Oh." Layla took his hand, registering its warmth and softness. Worried she was holding it too long or too firmly, she let his hand drop and smoothed the front of her dress.
"James Rothkopf? I just met the other Rothkopf, your dad." "I'm the more interesting one."
He grinned. "I'm sure you are," Layla said with a laugh. Now she saw the Rothkopf resemblance, the dimple, the intense eyes, the warmth of the smile. James peered beyond her down the hall, glanced behind him, and then said,
"Hey, do you want to see something amazing?"
Definitely. He gave her a conspiratorial look, almost mischievous.
Follow me.
He took her hand and led her, quickly, down the labyrinthine hallway toward the gallery, but turned off down a shorter hallway of small studios. Butterflies, faint ones, were stirring to life in her stomach. It was a sensation she hadn't felt in a long time. James paused at a closed door. Glancing around again, he turned the handle and ushered her inside. He quietly shut the door behind them. The room was dark, and she felt rather than saw him reach past her to switch on a small lamp. Layla blinked and took in her surroundings.
"Are we supposed to be in here?" she asked.
"No," said James. "This is all under wraps for another week."
Layla's heart pulsed fast, keeping time with the distant throb of the music from the party. Along the back of the room were tables filled with pottery that was scarred with gold, as if the pieces had been smashed and glued back together with glittering adhesive. Hanging on one wall was a rack of fabrics, rent into shreds, and then re-stitched with gold thread. She walked the perimeter of the room, taking everything in. She could feel James's eyes on her, appraising her.
"What is all this?" she asked.
"You're having a sneak peek at the upcoming Coriander Gallery exhibit," said James.
"Yours?"
"Oh, God, no." He laughed. "It's a collective of international artists inspired by the Japanese Kintsukuri technique."
"Kintsukuri..."
She searched for the closest English translation and asked,
"Golden Repair?"
"Yes. You've heard of it?"
Vaguely.
James crossed the small room in a few strides and joined her in front of the pottery.
"It's this really cool process where cracks are repaired with gold."
He reached out to touch a vase, softly, letting his fingers trace a golden line on a crack around its neck, down its curved body to the base. Layla shivered, watching his fingers, and suddenly wished she had a wrap on so she could disguise the goosebumps that had risen on her arms.
"The artists in this exhibit were inspired by this centuries-old repair technique," James went on.
"They're so talented," he added, with a wistful expression.
"Look at the precision of the gold inlay, here. As a restorer, I know the hours that went into getting this perfect."
He let his hand fall away from the vase. Layla traced the line his fingers had just followed, all the while conscious of his proximity to her. She picked up an Isis statuette, a lightweight copy of a relic, she guessed, and inspected its golden patterns.
"So, you're a restorer at your dad's gallery?" she asked carefully. "Do you use this technique in any of your work?"
"Are you kidding?"
He smirked.
"I often think it would be a relief to do Kintsukuri. Everything I do has to look perfect. Museums and collectors of antiquities don't want any artistic liberties. They want as close to original condition as possible. But that's why I'm here in Cairo."
"What do you mean?" Layla pressed him.
"Learning from the best in the business, getting access to authentic materials, and improving my craft while helping out my dad," said James. "It's an incredible feeling to repair something ancient so seamlessly that it's completely invisible to the naked eye. Kind of makes me feel like I got away with something each time I pull it off."
He smiled at her, and she felt her cheeks warm. He spoke about his work with an intensity that made her ache. She hadn't realized how much she missed talking about work like it mattered. It occurred to her that James Rothkopf was the only young person in the Cairo social scene who appeared to have gainful employment.
"So you work for perfection," said Layla. "But you appreciate flawed objects like this."
She handed him the Isis statuette.
"Not flawed, historical," he corrected, tracing the gold lines with one finger.
The damage is part of the object, and the gold calls attention to it. When the scars are made visible, the object becomes even more beautiful and unique. With Kintsukuri, you're celebrating an object's history. Gesturing around the room, he said, "These are all things that could have been tossed in the trash, but they survived and were made better." That's the philosophy, anyway, and I think this group of artists really gets it right. He set the Isis statuette back on the table. Probably the general public won't appreciate all that. I guess I just wanted to make sure someone did. He smiled sheepishly and scratched his head, suddenly looking embarrassed. Sorry for dragging you over here. Maybe this isn't your thing. I'm sure you didn't come to this party tonight for an art lecture.
No, it's fine. I mean, I like it. A lot.
She turned slowly and took in the contents of the room through fresh eyes. Through James's eyes. The collection of ceramics with their spiderwebs of gold dazzled in the light. James turned to look at her again, and she felt a warmth spread through her as if she too were suffused with gold. She wondered if he could see her damaged parts, the breaks in her story just by looking at her. She laughed at the idea. How crazy was that? The sly grin returned to James's face.
What?
He prompted.
Nothing.
She smiled to herself as he held the door open for her. The secret exhibit must have cast a weird spell over her. Time for a reality check. James was the son of Bennett Rothkopf. He worked in his dad's gallery. He knew the world of relics and collectors and could be really helpful to her investigation. He was definitely someone worth getting to know. So long as she could keep those butterflies in check.
False Idols is written by Lisa Klink, Patrick Lawyer, and Diana Wren. Performed by Lauren Ezzo. Produced by Amanda Rose Smith. FBI advisor Robert K. Whitman. Theme music by Amanda Rose Smith. You're listening to Adrenaline False Idols, created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Adrenaline is produced by Nicole Kreuter and Kaylin West. Associate produced by Devin Shepherd. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Hosted by Neil Heligers. Audio editing by Kaylin West. Original theme by Marcus Bagala. Original cover art by Kendall Thomas. Find more shows like this on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.